Hi, this is Barry List at INFORMS, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. You're listening to Science of Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. Nowadays, organizations from the National Security Agency to Netflix collect massive amounts of data and examine it for insights. In today's segment, we talk to Dr. Claudia Perlish of Media 6 Degrees, a firm specializing in social media and online marketing. Dr. Perlish is Media 6's chief scientist and was formerly a researcher at IBM Research. Dr. Perlish, welcome to the Science of Better. The average person using the internet, and for that matter, many business people with an online presence, participate in social media without looking behind the clockwork at how the gears work. So how do many online marketers seek customers, and how does Media 6's approach differ?
I want to start with pointing out that my transition into marketing, I realized that the marketing environment and ecosystem is astonishingly complex, as you say, the gears underneath. And there are many different niches and approaches that the participants have found for themselves. And I just briefly mentioned some of the more traditional approaches to marketing, which include demographics mostly. There recently has been a major increase in search-based advertisement where we know what the person is looking for, and the ad is targeted towards the general interest that the user has communicated with the search. But there's also behavioral advertisement, which tries to capture general interests of browsers online, depending on what kind of sites they visit. And finally, something that Media 6 has focused on is social marketing, where we are trying to see how social connections between people, to the extent that we know them, can be used to find precise targets for specific offers. Now, to your question on how does that differ, again, every player has a slightly different angle, and I want to emphasize that Media 6 has a strong focus on performance and scale while maintaining privacy, which is an increasingly concerning issue in the online advertisement.
Right. I would assume that both in the United States and in Europe, and for that matter throughout the world, there are pretty strict privacy regulations.
This is correct, and certainly more so in Europe than in the U.S. Our approach is really trying to do more with less data. And when I say less, I don't mean fewer terabytes, but trying to build or to use data science to build better models, knowing a little bit less about more people.
Which is a unique way of approaching it.
That's really our core competence, what we describe as having somewhat high-level view, where we don't try to really collect deep information about a given person, but only collect high-level information, but a lot of it. I want to briefly mention at this point, if that's okay with you, the general outline of the approach.
Okay, sure.
So we also are interested in the social media pages that browsers visit, but we don't care what the page is, what the content of the page is. I don't care if you read just now a blog about hockey or gardening. We will only assign a hashtag, a number, to that content and never look at it again. We only know it's one particular piece of content. And we do the same for the browser. The browser also just gets a number, and that's all we ever want to know about you or the site that you visited.
So,
and with that approach, we just feel that it preserves a maximum of privacy because we don't really know what you did, and we don't want to know. That's very different from a lot of alternative approaches of our competitors. Also, I want to emphasize Media 6 is not selling data. We just use it internally.
So you're using data that's provided to you by your client?
We are using data that is provided from our data sources. So we enter agreements, for instance, with blog providers, that allows us to keep track of who went to that blog. That's an example.
Uh-huh. In a world of so many targets and so many viewers, how does Media6 concentrate on marketing to individuals, which is something that you mention on your website?
To understand how it really works to be able to target one particular person, I need to give you a little bit of backup on the actual working of the advertising ecosystem. I'm not sure if your listeners are aware that every time you look at a page and you see ads, these ads all went through real-time auctions. Every time a page is loaded in your browser, the server sending requests and bids are taken by all kinds of services and marketers who want to show you an ad, and whoever bids the most money, that's the ad you're going to see. And
all of that. So this is similar to the way Google AdWords works, for example?
Yes, in principle, this is exactly what it is. And we provide information to the ad exchange whenever they see a person that we labeled as a high prospect for a given campaign. They will be bidding on our behalf. In the real-time ad exchange, we may do the bidding ourselves. And that way, we can see exactly who it is that the ad will be shown to.
Can you give us a couple examples? I know that your clients include companies in the travel industry and retail.
In terms of examples, I unfortunately can't tell you actual names of our clients.
That's understood.
But they are major brand names that could be in travel, retail. We have some in education as well, and the financial industry. What I want to emphasize is that we are not building specific models that are in any way different between, let's say, travel and retail. The methodology that's underlying the approach is actually the same. We don't need to know what type of industry you're in order to build an ad campaign, because we are observing, in addition to the browsing behavior, before starting a campaign, we are going to see who is visiting, for this particular brand, the brand's website. And this is our first initial positive seed that then is used to build models. And it works the same way whether you're trying to sell tickets to Hawaii or some sports shoe for that matter.
To help our listeners visualize a little bit better, let's say that my company is women's apparel. Tell me how you would approach working for my company.
To do that, let me give you basically a quick look under our hood. Starting before we actually run the campaigns and show any ads, we would start collecting data on your website. You probably have some kind of online presence. You may have an online shop where you're actually selling your products, right?
Right.
So we put what's called a pixel there, and that lets us write a cookie whenever somebody comes to buy something on your site. And we sit and wait for some period of time until we feel we have enough initial seed browsers. We know a nice set of people who have expressed some kind of what we call brand loyalty or taken some action like conversion, shopped at your place, bought something. Now, we use that in our graph that we collect from the visitations to find similar people to that seed population. So we use the graph and your visitation to build what we call a pseudo-social graph. Whenever two people visit the same page in the Internet, we consider there is some chance that they have a social relationship as well, especially if those pages happen in social media. So we're going to find neighbors of that seed population that we observe to have come to your page. And that's the population we're going to target.
So that's the way that you make it social and go beyond the individual to people like them or people who
Right.
have connections to them.
Right, that's how we're expanding the reach beyond just retargeting, meaning people who you know came to your site. We find people who are socially related to them or similar in some other way of visiting similar sites as you are.
Now, what does Media6 mean when it says that it builds audiences using brand loyalists and their online connections to create an audience of possible customers? Is that what we're just talking about?
That's basically the process I try to describe. We use the term brand loyalist to denote people who did something that indicates interest in a brand, whether this is purchasing, downloading an initial trial version of some software, or just visiting a site that somebody decides expresses this interest in that brand. That's exactly what we meant. The online connections is the information that we back out from the what we call co-visitation graph. So browsers visiting the same page might have some kind of a social connection, and these are the online connections that we use to find related people to the brand loyalists.
Maybe we can take a step back and look at two of the specialties that experts in operations research and analytics are pursuing nowadays and that I know that you specialize in. Tell us briefly what is data mining and what machine learning is.
So let me start with the latter. So machine learning, and that's somewhat of a private view, but the way I look at it covers a wide variety of algorithms that essentially can improve the solution to a particular problem based on feedback that's given to them by data. If you want to be less esoteric and very crisp, my feeling is that the majority of these algorithms fall in the category of function approximation. So the current performance is measured by some objective function, and then you can use real data to improve on that.
Okay.
The notion of data mining initially meant to denote something like finding novel and valuable nuggets of information in vast amounts of data. The information that you can find there can take all kinds of forms like patterns or relationships. Today, data mining pretty much covers the majority of things you can do with data that is probably not pure statistics or doesn't have as clear an objective function as what we have seen in machine learning. So it's really a wide variety of approaches that fall into that category.
And layman's terms, how does someone with your training take the first steps to do data mining? How do you frame the problem and what's your approach, your initial steps?
So I think you hit on a very important point here. In my opinion, it's not so much the algorithm that makes data mining successful, but it's really this process of framing the problem and the ability to build a complete analytical change from the problem through the data to solution. So typically when I start to look at a new problem, I first really need to understand what's the objective. What are you trying to do? Do you really want to classify who is going to be sick? Do you really want to predict who will take a specific action, or is the actionable business insight actually slightly different? So first is understanding the use of the tool. The second step then would be to go and find what data is available and if it might actually suit and provide that link to the problem that you're trying to solve.
Your work as a student resulted in another INFORMS award, the INFORMS Design Science Award. The project was related to what you're now doing, selecting an audience for online brand advertising. And I gather the project was led by NYU Professor Foster Provost, who's also a member of Media6's advisory board. I'm wondering if you'd like to tell us about that project at an early point in your career.
So this, in some sense, is a forerunner of the Media6 advertising approach and also related to my thesis work on learning in complicated environments. It started with a campaign with a project for a telecommunication provider. They were trying to market a new product. And what we showed here is, without knowing anything about the customer, but just using the connections in the network, meaning who called whom, we saw tremendous lifts in the effectiveness of marketing by just simply finding the social connections of somebody who has expressed interest in that product. So the breakthrough was that you don't need to know anything beyond connections in a network and build a much better, much more targeted campaign than trying to go by demographics or any other approaches. And that idea really transcended into the creation of Media6, where we had to think about how to build a network. But once that idea was in place, it turns out to work beautifully for all kinds of advertising.
Moving on, I'm a big movie fan and a Netflix user, and you were an award winner for work predicting movie popularity for Netflix. How did you get into the movie business, so to speak, and what was your work?
So the movie business, similar to the medical, actually initiated as a competition, and we won that one. Of course, I'm an avid Netflix user too, so it wasn't that hard to convince me to start working with movies. Finally felt like it's something I really understand something about.
Something you had a personal interest in.
Yes, exactly. And the data here was provided by Netflix, and they wanted to know if we could forecast next year's popularity. So we know how popular a movie is today, how many people are either requesting the DVD or watching it online. And now the question is, how many people will be there next year? So what's the demand for DVDs? How many do they have to buy of any particular movie? And that's a very nice time series problem where you have this forward-looking property. You use data from the past to predict something in the future. The key here was to observe certain statistical properties, and we also went to IMDb to get additional information that we integrated in our models.
That's the International Movie Database.
Yes. Thank you for pointing that out.
We only have time for a few more questions. I understand that you've co-written an article that will appear in the Informs magazine ORMS today. The title, Social Media Analytics, the Next Generation of Analytics-Based Marketing, seeks insights from blogs. What insights are you seeking from blogs, and can you preview key points of the paper for us?
So that paper is related to a very exciting project at IBM that's called Banter. The marketing people are increasingly nervous about all these blogs and the user-generated content that's going on out there, and there's this feeling of, well, it's a jungle, but we can't quite penetrate it. We don't know what's going on there. So we started to build a tool that collects blogs and monitors the postings and really combines technology from language processing and graph mining to come to the key questions. What are people saying out there that would impact our business? What do they think about our project? What do they really think about our the product? It has very nice analytical problems. Let's start with just relevance. If you happen to have a product that's called Lotus, you may have heard of it.
Yes.
Just typing it into Google is unlikely to yield a good list of relevant blogs you want to monitor, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the car, there's the plant, and there's many other things. So we built a model that starts with some seed blogs that people told us they knew to be interesting, to then go out through links between them to find other relevant blogs about, say, Lotus. And we also built a classifier that helps us weed out the irrelevant stuff. Now, the next point is, even if you have a long list of, say, 10,000 Lotus blogs, which ones are important to read? Many people write online, but who is actually listened to? What are the authoritative bloggers? So the next layer in this tool is some measure of authority and influence that some blogs have. One key requirement that came to us was they want to know, well, is it good news or is it bad news? So another model in this tool tries to discern the sentiment that is expressed in the blog. For that, we did some very interesting work that combines dictionaries of known words and uses some labeled examples, similar to the previous examples of models I mentioned, to identify either very strong positive or very strong negative sentiments. And we put all of this together in one tool that's now used in the market intelligence group at IBM to keep some kind of track of what's going on there.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Dr. Claudia Perlish of Media 6 Degrees. Dr. Perlish, thank you for joining us. And thank you for listening to the Science of Better podcast by Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more about operations research and this series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.